Hello and welcome to the Care for the Family podcast with me, Mark Chester, Stephen Hayes.
Hello.
And our special guest, Andy Packett. Today we're back in the Dad Cave where we discuss fatherhood in its various forms and where we get to unpack some of the things that don't often get talked about. So Andy, thanks for joining us. And can you just kick us off by telling us a little bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, so I'm Andy, I'm 40. Married to Lucy, and we have four sons, Josh, who's 16, Micah, 15, Isaac, who's 12, and Joe, who's 9.
Lovely, great.
And you weren't tempted to call any of them Chris?
No, I had to put up with
Chris
that
Packett.
As a child. That was very painful.
I'm sorry to bring that
brought back terrible memories.
I'm so sorry.
Well, that's a good place to start, because we always begin each Dad Cave with a dad joke each. So, Andy, tell us your dad joke.
Right, okay. So, I went to the gym. And there's a new machine. I used it for an hour and I felt really sick. It's good though. It does everything. Kit Kats, Mars bars, Snickers.
Wee.
Come on, nice. Stephen, see if you can better that.
Okay, I don't think I can. I mean, these jokes are intentionally bad, aren't they? But So I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon and I'll let you know. Takes a few seconds, that one.
They're getting worse. So my joke is this. I startled my next door neighbour with my new electric power tool. And I had to calm him down by saying, don't panic, it's only a drill.
It is.
It's one of the better ones.
I think I'll let the listeners / watchers in on the fact that you were, there's a screenshot you've got there, isn't it? The joke, and you missed the time just because you were staring at a screenshot. That's about as dad as it comes, I think.
I did, yeah.
Why has it been the same time for like an hour? Love it.
That is typically dad, isn't it? No idea whatsoever how to use my phone without the assistance of a teenager. But anyway, today we are looking at dads and hobbies and why cultivating common interests with your children can be a great benefit to family life. So I was thinking, perhaps a good place to start is maybe talking about our own dads and what we did with our own dads when we were growing up. So, Andy, what kind of things did you do with your dad?
Yeah, it's funny. My experience with, I guess my dad is quite different to what maybe my experience has been with how I've then fathered the boys. But very, very close. I still refer to him now. I'm 40. I still refer to him as one of my best friends. Mm. And it was like that growing up. I remember my mum tells me the story of, you know, my dad had come home from work and I'd be waiting, itching, ready to kind of shed. Apparently I ran to the door once and nearly knocked myself out just because so excited that dad's coming home from work.
That's sweet.
We did very normal things. We played games together. In terms of how sport has been such a massive part of my life and how I've been a father, that hasn't actually been, it wasn't my experience growing up so much with my dad. He was away more with work and that wasn't his thing. So I guess I adapted more to what was his. So we'd watch films together. We'd spend a lot of quality time together. But not necessarily the same way that I have done with my boys, but very positive experience.
Yeah. Great. Oh, it's lovely to hear that. And Stephen, what kind of things did you do with your dad?
I'd say the majority of what I did with my dad growing up was probably watching football and playing football. I think most of it, a lot of activity-based stuff. So, you know, we'd go take the dogs for a walk. But then certainly in more recent years, it's kind of been, if I see my dad in the week, it's normally to go and watch football, a terrible football match usually. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, well, it's same with me really, football. So from when I was 8 until I was 18, my dad managed football teams that I played for. And so I spent every Saturday afternoon during the winter with my dad. And it was great. I loved it. Very fond memories of that. And, you know, as I was growing up, I think I probably thought, oh, my dad manages football teams, I'll play for those football teams and we get to spend time together. But actually, when I became an adult, I realised that the reason my dad managed football teams was so he could spend Saturday afternoons with me, you know, I played for those teams. As soon as I reached 18 and moved off, he stopped managing football teams. But it didn't dawn on me at the time that this was the reason why he was doing it. So, you know, sometimes it just, perhaps our children don't sort of understand what we're actually doing, but they're still getting the benefit from it. They're still enjoying it, and that's great. How about with your own children? What kind of things do you do with your own kids?
Can I just add one other thing, in terms of my growing up, actually, something that maybe is a little bit of a regret of ours is the whole kind of creative musical side of things. Mm. And that was very much what I grew up in. I grew up in a household that was very musical. So everybody played an instrument, and a lot of time that we spent together, probably that I would have spent with my dad, unfortunately for him, was having to listen to me play the violin, which I think I got a lot of strangled cat jokes and all those kind of things.
You should have brought it in. We could have had a first-hand experience of it.
That would have been painful. It wasn't a gift. For my older brother, it was a musical gift. Mine was a discipline. But it was a really good thing, and something that I'd want to encourage into other homes, where I think we can be such a real kind of sport focused environment. Actually, that musical creative side, it worked really well for me. It was still a great experience. I didn't end up being a musician, but it was still going to orchestras, connecting with things that actually my mum and dad were passionate about. That was a good thing as well, but just felt to add that.
Yeah. And I think that's a really worthwhile point, Andy. Thanks for raising that, because the three of us are very much into sport. So as we discuss things, naturally, we're probably going to talk about sport. But we do have to bear in mind, don't we, that there are other things that people do. Don't believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, there are other hobbies and interests that are shared between fathers and their children.
Yeah.
And I can talk a little bit later on about some of the stuff I do with my daughter, which isn't just around sport.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great point. So thank you for raising that.
And going back to the thing you were saying about the question on what we do with our kids now. So my daughter's only 10 months old, so the kind of the breadth of what we can do together is pretty limited. But it's funny enough with the musical thing, something I think often my wife will go and, you know, just do little chores around the house that she doesn't get to do in the day. So some bath times I'll kind of do the majority of it, and I often bring my ukulele in and play my ukulele, and my daughter loves it. She's kind of mesmerized and just stares at it. Yeah. And often, I'll write little songs about, you know, things she's going through or whatever. Some of them she would not ever want to be repeated. One of them has a line about her being bunged up worse than the A48. So hopefully she'll never listen to this. But it keeps me amused. But so, already bringing in music and that kind of environment now is kind of... Because you never know what they're going to be into, do you? So it's...
No.
Yeah.
No. And that's great, isn't it, to start something off early and to give them a taste of something and see whether they want to do that.
Yeah.
Which isn't always the case, is it? They don't always follow our interests. What kind of things do you do with your children, Andy?
So, we're focusing on the musical side of things. That's an absolute battle just to get them to do anything. That's, for me, particularly outside of sport, outside of the rough and tumble, outside of... Yeah, my boys just want to be either wrestling me, just especially my eldest, just loves to just have a scrap and a. But most of what we do is sport based. They all absolutely love football.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of football our week. If you ask my wife, she really does have a tough time with five boys, as she says, in the house. And
Have they all chosen your team?
So that's a good question. We lived in Portugal for 7 years. Mm-hmm. So, and they were the 7 years were when Aston Villa were in decline, coming out of the Premier League. And I was asked the questions like, Dad, do we have to support Aston Villa? Do we have to? And I said, of course not, boys. It's, you know, it's your choice. But with kind of subtle guilt, try and make sure that they did.
Yeah, if you want to break my heart, then go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So they all would say that, you know, Villa is their first team, apart from maybe Isaac, who's 12. Liverpool, I think, is...
Jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah. But so football is the kind of way we kind of structure our week, really. Each of them have different football trainings, and we're really kind of actively involved in that. But we just try to do... Our main focus really is how can we do stuff in community together? How can we we kind of talk about celebrating one another? How do we go and watch Joe's football? He's our youngest, who's 9. How do we go and celebrate each other and kind of get involved with each other? So it just ends up being, if they're not playing football, they're wanting to play it on FIFA, or they're wanting to... Fantasy football is the new thing that just is taking over our home and conversations again, much to my wife's distress, but it's brilliant in terms of father-son bonding. It really is. Yeah. And I always say to them things like, I'm not doing fantasy football next year. Just occupies too much of my mind, too much of my time. And yeah, and the boys are like, no, Dad, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Because their whole sense is, can they beat me? Yeah. That's their greatest desire. If they can edge ahead of each other as brothers, that's nice. Mm. If they can be beating me, then...
Yeah. Are they beating you?
No. I am in first place at the moment, which is magic. So.
What a How nice about you, thing Mark? To be able to say. So, I do different things with the children, done different things over the years, really. I suppose I'm interested in, Andy, what you're saying about talking about, you said about conversation about football as well, because I grew up, you know, with, as I said, with my dad managing football teams I played for. The language we used to communicate was often football.
Yeah.
And we'd be communicating about stuff that maybe was a bit deeper, but the language was football. And when my son started to get a bit older and started to play football, I just assumed that would be the case. It's happened in generations of men in my family. We've talked about football. And he didn't have that kind of same passion. He enjoyed it. He didn't want to play for a team. He just liked the kickabout. And all of a sudden, I was panicking, thinking, what are we going to talk about for the next 10, 15 years or the rest of our lives, really? We've lost this language. And fortunately, we found a new language in golf. So Billy took up golf. He's more of an individual sports player than a team player. And so I took up golf sort of more passionately at the same time, really had some lessons, and began to play together. And that's been fantastic, because while you're doing that activity, and it doesn't have to be golf, it could be any kind of activity, any kind of hobby, music or whatever, you're communicating with one another, aren't you? And also, I think our children are seeing how we conduct ourselves. I think that's in some of these shared activities, that's a real challenge. So I watched my dad as he was growing up on football fields and how he conducted himself on football fields. And he always conducted himself well. He dealt with other teams well. He dealt with the players well. He didn't shout and swear and get angry. And so I began to see a man that I wanted to be like.
Now you don't shout, swear, or get angry playing golf.
I
trust.
I internally get a bit frustrated, but I try not to.
Who's the better golfer, Mark?
So, well, this is a great point, really, because for a long time I was the better golfer, but then a day came where that changed, and all of a sudden we're standing on a tee, and I hit a ball, and then Billy hits a ball 20, 30 yards further than me. And that was the moment where it's like, wow, he can hit this ball further than me, and he's never looked back. He's much better than I am now, much better. Hits it much, much, much longer. But there's a certain pride in him that he can do that. What you were saying, Andy, about beating your dad is, you know, he was really pleased to be able to do that. And I was proud as well of him.
Mm.
But there was a little bit of loss there for me too, I have to admit.
I beat my dad in an arm wrestle for the first time like 2 years ago, and he's, mid-60s. And it was a beautiful moment because he's quite strong. So it was that sense of beating your dad. It's innately in there, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
With both of you, I mean, does the time you spend with your children naturally kind of occur, or how? Because obviously we're in different stages of being fathers. I'm kind of new to the game. Your kids are kind of spread up to teens, and obviously Mark, yours are adult. So have you always just, as the time you spend with them kind of naturally happened, or do you have to be fairly deliberate with it? Because even now, so I'm trying to make sure at least once a month, and it normally is just once a month, I just take Imogen out, go for a coffee, what have you, just so I'm kind of making sure I've got one-on-one time with her, even though now she won't remember it, but it's starting to get that into our rhythm. So do you find it just kind of happens naturally, or do you have to kind of carve that time out?
I think for me, I guess I have the benefit of just being very much like them. That's how my wife describes me, that I'm just a bigger version of them, just a bigger kid.
Bigger, beardier version.
Yeah, just a big kid, basically. and I think because of that, it means that I guess it comes a bit more naturally. It's what I love doing, so we end up doing those things. And, it's not against their wishes. They very much love to do that as well. Mm. I think we've kind of, we've flitted between two camps, really, because I think there's the camp that says, go and have that one-on-one time that's really, really important and make those intentional choices to do that. We've always, to be honest, really struggled to do that well and consistently, just to say, well, I'm going to go out with just Josh this week or just Micah. And it tends to be more natural, to be honest, when we do things just together as a bigger community, which, again, we're fortunate that we can do, that we have all, you know, very common interests. But I appreciate that would be hard if maybe they were into different things. One of the things that I do really, really deliberately is whenever I go out, I always just invite one of the boys to come with me, even if it's going to put petrol in the car or whether it's going for a longer time, just because there's always opportunity for conversation, always opportunity for... And so that aspect of our life, we're very, very intentional about some things. And then there's other things where it kind of happens a bit more spontaneously. We're like, come on, let's all pack in the car and go off for a walk and climb up a mountain. And they're a little bit resistant at first because, but then once they're out there, they're just boys. They're like we were when we were kids. When you get into up a mountain or you get out into the forest or whatever, you love it. Your imagination gets the better of you and it's a great time. So I think, there's a blend between the two.
Mm. Yeah, it can be hard, can't it, spending one-on-one time with each child? I mean, particularly for you, Andy, when you've got four, that's really, the logistics of that are very difficult. I think in theory, it's a great idea. And if you can do it, it's brilliant, spending one-on-one time with each child. Mm. But what I found really was we've only got two children, but as the family grew and everybody got busier, then it just got harder and harder to do that, really, to carve that time out. And so things occurred a bit more naturally. I think it's good just to keep an eye on it, though, and be thinking, do I need to do this? Do I just take a rain check every now and again and be thinking, does each child, how are they doing? Do they need a bit of one-on-one time? Or actually, it's been a bit imbalanced, over the last few months. I need to devote a bit more time to one child. I think it's good just to do that.
And it does depend on the child as well. So I've got Josh who's doing his GCSEs and he's going to be, they're looking at his badminton. So I have to very deliberately take him out so that I can help him practice and get better so that he can get a better grade in his exam. Yeah. And some of the other boys can be like, well, that's not fair. He's getting special time and that's what we're like. But then you've got our standard one-on-one time was, let's go to McDonald's and buy a McFlurry, whatever, and sit and chat. Mm. And we found actually it was almost a little bit awkward because it felt a bit forced. Mm. Whereas Micah, my son who's 15, he didn't care as long as you got ice cream. He wasn't bothered. He'd happily sit and say nothing, but he got his ice cream. Whereas actually I think doing things with a purpose or with a focus actually helps them to draw out more. So rather than sitting opposite them, actually getting out with them. So actually I found going on a run with Micah, if I can keep up with him long enough, to chat. And actually what is quite nice is he's super fit. So he'll just talk the whole time we run. I can just listen.
You're there gasping for air.
I can't speak because I'm dying. So it depends on the child. And like you say, it depends on the circumstances. Whereas I've been putting more time maybe into Josh in this season. Okay, how do I balance that out and do that well? Because it's important. They're all watching.
And boys as well, I suppose. I mean, not exclusively, but often is the case that men or boys or whatever relate doing stuff shoulder to shoulder. So it has to be some sort of activity or something you're meeting to do this. And then the talking just kind of happens.
Yeah.
But it'd be very... So even now, like with my dad, it would be very strange, I think, to just go for a drink and then just be looking at each other like, so... Whereas if the football's on, then we chat, but it's...
Yeah.
There's the other thing. And I don't know why that is, but obviously with having all boys, that naturally just leans to the way you would naturally relate to them, I suppose.
Yeah, very good.
How's that looked with Meg?
Yeah, it's been different for me. As you're talking, I'm thinking back over the years, really. And I probably naturally spent a lot of time with Billy because we were both sporty and Meg wasn't. Mm. She is a bit more now, but she wasn't in those days. And... Yeah, I wonder sometimes whether I did get it a bit imbalanced, really, because obviously going out to play golf, I'd be like, I'm desperate to go. Billy's desperate to go. Off we go, 4 hours together. You know, it's a long time.
Mm. Yeah.
But perhaps I didn't give as much time to Meg because we didn't have that kind of shared interest. That said, we talked a lot about books, about writing, about punctuation and grammar, believe it or not. And we still do. We talk a lot. She's studying English now. Mm. We can talk endlessly about books. And we talk a lot. And so with Billy, it's more active doing stuff, which proves the point you're saying, really, Stephen. Often with a boy, it's sort of shoulder to shoulder doing something together. But with Meg, we will just sit down and we will just chat well to one another, and we'll talk about books we've read and how a story's constructed and all those kind of things. And so, you know, we've really, I suppose, bonded over a love of books. Yeah. So that's been a passion we've been able to share. So it's not just all about sport. What do you hope, Stephen, for... I mean, now, Imogen's very young. What are you hoping are the types of things you'll do together as she gets older?
Great question. I think there would be some part of me that would like her to, kind of naturally lean towards the stuff I'm into. But I think it'll be a case of trying lots of things to try and make sure whatever her potential is, that kind of tapping into that and then buying into it. I know my brother and sister-in-law, they've got two girls and a boy, and they seem to have done every activity under the sun. And I suppose the older they get, the more you discover, okay, they're not really into sport, but they seem to be taking an interest in musical instruments or building things or whatever it might be. So I think for me, it'll always be important to make sure the time is there at least. And I think that will get easier the older she gets. But stuff that we can enjoy together, I think stuff that bonds us together, I feel like that'll be important. And it's quite helpful, being so early in the journey myself, listening to you guys and trying to figure out more of that. But even now when we go out, I chat to her about stuff. I know she's not really taking it in. She's more busy mashing up her rice cake or whatever. But it's that rhythm of life. So even yesterday, took her out for a coffee and she had a little soy baby chino. And I kind of just talked to her about stuff. And she looked at me like I had two heads, but it's kind of, that's fine. So the more she develops, the more fun it gets, I think.
Do you think that children ever get involved in our hobbies to please us? You know, we think we're doing a hobby to spend some time with them. But I'm just wondering whether children ever get involved in a hobby to please dad. As an example, Meg recently, we were on holiday in St Andrews. We go up there quite regularly. Billy and I play golf up there. Went to the driving range. Meg came along, as she often will, and I sort of said to her, you know, you can just have a few hits of my basket of balls if you like, because she has a go every now and again. And she said to me, no, I'd like my own basket of golf balls, please. And I was a bit taken aback. I thought, oh, right, okay, you know, this is rather a lot, 50 balls to hit.
Yeah.
And then she started hitting these balls, and I'm looking at it thinking, wow, you're hitting those golf balls really well. And I was going, you're following through brilliantly. And she turned around and she smiled at me. She was really pleased. She said, I've been having golf lessons when she was at university. So secretly, she'd been taking some golf lessons. and she was, you know, she was playing really well. And I was really pleased. You know, I was, oh, wow, at last. You know, and we joked about it. But I think there was a sense in which she wanted to give it a try. But also, there's probably, I know Dad loves this. Yeah. I'd like to do something to please Dad.
That she could be involved.
Yeah.
As well.
So I'm just, and although we've got a great relationship and we talk about all sorts of other things, like I said, about books and stuff, I think there was an element where she was doing it to please me. And it did please me, you know, and that's fine. But I'm just wondering whether there's a tension there sometimes that actually we as dads, we just want our kids to get involved in what we're interested in. And how do we make sure we're a bit more flexible about that and we follow their interests and allow them to blossom and flourish?
I think for me, the football thing is, I think they want to be involved in it because they know their dads are into it. But actually, there's obviously a massive cultural thing where everybody is pretty much, you know, into it across the board. Yeah. There's a lot of love for football. So I think that's maybe a tricky one. I don't think that any of my boys are doing it necessarily to earn, you know, whatever, time with me or affection there. Maybe that can play out in other areas. I certainly find, like, I don't know what you guys feel like, but for me, like, when your kids reach an age where they can read the books that you read when you were a kid, or they can watch the the whole sense of reading together and then seeing how passionate you get about the subject and the book, and they really feed off it. And sometimes they're like, Dad, I want more, another chapter. These are the kids that were resistant. No, it's going to be boring. And then suddenly it's like, more, 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 especially if it's bedtime coming up. They're like, no, more, 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 more. I'm not sure that kids necessarily do it. Even going back to my own relationship with my dad, you know, I don't think that I took up the violin to please him. I think it was just natural that it followed kind of a musical pattern in the home.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess I probably like the fact that I know my dad likes this. That's a good thing. But I don't know. I guess it depends on the person and on the particular thing. I love that golf story. I think it's brilliant that she wanted to.
Yeah. And maybe they're, you know, like we're trying to seek a relationship with them. They're trying to seek a relationship with us. So there's a sense in which we're trying to please each other, isn't it? And that's okay, is what we're saying. That's okay to be like that.
I think it's natural to want to see something of yourself in your child, isn't it? Because and that can be from interests to even behavioural things. Mm-hmm. I'd love her to have a great sense of humour and, you know, take on board a lot of that stuff. So I think it's innately there on both sides. And I think as dads, it's our responsibility to make sure we're doing both. We're giving them, you know, stuff that is part of us, but also allowing them to be an individual and tapping into the stuff that they're naturally interested in. So we've kind of talked a little bit about how kids do things that will relate to us, but have you both ever had to do anything that isn't a natural interest just to connect with your children?
That's a great question, yeah. My son went through a phase where he was really into vloggers, you know, these guys who perhaps travel the world and film the every detail of their lives and show it to everybody, you know, just getting on a plane or whatever. And he used to watch those, which I was like, why would you be interested in the detail of someone else's life? And then he said there was a photography exhibition and one of these vloggers was doing a seminar at his photography exhibition. And he said, I'd like to go and see that. So I went along with him thinking, wow, this is something I'm really not interested in, and I want to do it because I want to do it with him, but I'm really not going to enjoy this. Actually, it was great. It was really good. It was quite fascinating to hear this guy speak and his story and to understand what lies behind what he does and why people engage with it. And all of a sudden I started being interested in what Billy was interested in then. I could understand why he's interested in this, because I just looked at it on the surface, but once I delved a bit deeper, then I started to get some enjoyment from it. How about you, Andy?
Yeah, I think this is a difficult one for me when I think about it. I think, man, is there anything that I do with them that I don't enjoy doing? Because I guess there's things like we have Nerf battles. So like Nerf is like obviously just craziness in the home, and we'll do Nerf battles in the dark.
They're the little foam bullets.
So we kind of... So it's not necessarily that I'm thinking, oh, right now I'd love to have a Nerf battle. But to be honest, after about 2 minutes of involvement, like, I'm loving it. This is great. You know, I'm diving across settees and getting shot in the face, and it's all good fun and it's great. So it's quite a challenging one, because most of what we end up doing, as I said at the beginning, I am just kind of a big kid. It sometimes worries me. I think, man, I'm 40, but I love to do what, you know, my 12, 13-year-old kids love to do. This is just great and this is fun.
So let me paint a scenario that one of them, Joe, comes home and says, I love football, love all that stuff, but I've been secretly getting into tap dancing and I've got a recital every single month. Can you please come along? How do you think you would respond to that being like, oh, that's a little bit different?
I'd hope to think that I would put my preferences aside to support him. If it was something he was really passionate about, I think I'd want to say, right, that's cool. If you're giving yourself to this, that's brilliant. And I think I'd be supportive of that. I think it's quite a... My dad said something to me, and I think this feels like a good moment to share it. He was saying how people often say, are you proud of your kids? And he said he kind of thought about it, and he thought, actually, that's kind of the way people speak. It's our common speech is, yeah, I'm proud of my kid for doing that, or I'm proud of my kid for doing that. But he said, actually, I feel like it's the wrong word. Actually, I love them. I love my kids. I love what they do. I celebrate what they do well. I'm around with them, you know, if maybe things don't go to plan, if there's, you know, been situations where, you know, failure's crept in or whatever it might be. And actually, I think I'm I feel like that's the important thing for the boys. I think if you put a target or an achievement on, well, I'll be proud when you achieve, then actually, rather than actually, I'm just going to love them through what they enjoy doing. And so I hope my, I may have to, you know, eat these words. But if one of my sons comes home and said, Dad, this is what I want to do, will you support me in this? I'd say, actually, rather than having this mindset of, well, actually, sporting achievement is the way that they earn their pride or earn my pride. But actually that, kind of being proud of them often can speak more about ourselves and how we perceive our kids are doing in the eyes of maybe our friends and our peers. But actually just to love them, support them, and encourage them in whatever it is they are doing. And trying to do that well. I can't remember what the question was. I feel like I've gone off
that,
point.
No, I think that's a lovely point. That is a lovely point, And, you know, over the years, I thinking back, talking about dancing, I spent a lot of years watching Strictly Come Dancing because Meg loved it. And now I wouldn't watch it at all. You know, she's flown the nest. I wouldn't watch it at all. But over those years, I got to quite like sequins and Lycra, and it seemed like possibly a good idea, you know, to join in at some point. But
whereas I'm just grateful, genuinely, that I have boys when it comes to things like Strictly Come Dancing. Like, thank you.
I suppose the crux of it all, isn't it? Building relationship with your kids. It's a little bit of give and it's a little bit of take. You want them to be, you want to see a bit of yourself in them. You want to share the things that matter to you. And that's a good thing. But equally, you want to be investing in the things that they like. I know a dad who is kind of sporty and one of his kids just loves Lego and his but the intricate Lego, not just build like the stuff that's like you have websites with code and like all this kind of stuff, and he's kind of having to tap into that. So I think the more we're able to do both of those things, I think it just really helps build that kind of lasting relationship.
Very good.
And I think that's a great place to finish on, really, isn't it? What that's what we're all looking for, isn't it? We're looking for a good quality lasting relationship with our children, and our children are looking for that with us as well. They want a good quality lasting relationship with us. So that was another dad cave, and that was really, really stimulating discussion, really interesting discussion. So Andy, thank you very much for joining us in the dad cave, and thank you for listening. That was another episode of the dad cave. We look forward to chatting again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.